made Gareth wish to upset his father even more. Nothing like living down to expectations, after all. Gareth tapped his foot, feeling rather like a stranger in his own home, as he waited for the butler to alert his father as to his arrival. He'd spent so little time here in the last 9 years, it was difficult to feel much in the way of attachment. To him, it was nothing but a pile of stones that belonged to his father and would eventually go to his elder brother, George. Nothing of the house and nothing of the St. Clair fortunes would come to Gareth, and he knew that his lot was to make his own way in the world. He supposed that he would enter the military after Cambridge. The only other acceptable avenue of vocation was the clergy, and heaven knew he wasn't suited for that. Gareth had few memories of his mother, who had died in an accident when he was 5, but even he could recall her tousling his hair and laughing about how he was never serious. "My little imp, you are," she used to say, followed by a whispered, "Don't lose that. Whatever you do, don't lose it." He hadn't. And he rather doubted the Church of England would wish to welcome him into their ranks. "Master Gareth?" Gareth up at the sound of the butler's voice. As always, Gilfoyle spoke in flat sentences, never queries. "Your father will see you now," Gilfoyle intoned. "He's in his study." Gareth nodded at the aging butler and made his way down the hall towards his father's study, always his least favourite room in the house. It was where his father delivered his lectures, where his father told him he would never amount to anything, where his father icily speculated that he should never have had a second son. The Gareth was nothing but a drain on the family finances and a stain on their honour. No, Gareth thought as he knocked on the door. No happy memories here. "Enter!" Gareth pushed open the heavy oak door and stepped inside. His father was seated behind his desk, scribbling something on a sheet of paper. He looked well, Gareth thought idly. His father always looked well. It would have been easier had he turned into a ruddy caricature of a man, but no, Lord St. Clair was fit and strong and gave the appearance of a man 2 decades younger than his 50-odd years. He looked like the sort of man a boy like Gareth ought to respect, and it made the pain of rejection all the more cruel. Gareth waited patiently for his father to look up. When he didn't, he cleared his throat. No response. Gareth coughed. Nothing. Gareth felt his teeth grinding. This was his father's routine, ignoring him for just long enough to act as a reminder that he found him beneath notice. Gareth considered saying, "Sir." He considered saying, "My lord." He even considered uttering the word, "Father." But in the end, he just slouched against the door jamb and started to whistle. His father looked up immediately. "Cease," he snapped. Gareth quirked a brow and silenced himself. "And stand up straight, good God," the Baron said testily. "How many times have I told you that whistling is ill-bred?" Gareth waited a second, then asked, "Am I meant to answer that, or was it a rhetorical question?" His father's skin reddened. Gareth swallowed. He shouldn't have said that. He'd known that his deliberately jocular tone would infuriate the Baron, but sometimes it was so damned hard to keep his mouth shut. He'd spent years trying to win his father's favour, and he'd finally given in and given up. And if he took some satisfaction in making the old man as miserable as the old man made him, well, so be it. One had to take one's pleasures where one could. "I'm surprised you're here," his father said. Gareth blinked in confusion. "You asked me to come," he said. And the miserable truth was, he'd never defied his father. Not really. He poked, he prodded, he added a touch of insolence to his every statement and action. But he had never behaved without and out defiance. Miserable coward that he was. In his dreams, he fought back. In his dreams, he told his father exactly what he thought of him. But in reality, his defiance was limited to whistles and sullen looks. "So I did," his father said, leaning back slightly in his chair. "Nonetheless, I never issue an order with the expectation that you will follow it correctly. You so rarely do. Gareth said nothing. His father stood and walked to a nearby table, where he kept a decanter of brandy. I imagine you're wondering what this is all about, he said. Gareth nodded, but his father didn't bother to look at him, so he added, Yes, sir. The Baron took an appreciative sip of his brandy, leaving Gareth waiting while he visibly savoured the amber liquid. Finally, he turned and with a coolly assessing stare said, I have finally discovered a way for you to be useful to the St. Clair family. Gareth's head jerked in surprise. You have, sir? His father took another drink, then set his glass down. Indeed. He turned to his son and looked at him directly for the first time during the interview. You'll be getting married. Sir? Gareth said, nearly gagging on the word. This summer, Lord St. Clair confirmed. Gareth grabbed the back of a chair to keep from swerving. He was 18, for God's sake. Far too young to marry. And what about Cambridge? Could he even attend as a married man? And where would he put his wife? And good God above, whom was he supposed to marry? It's an excellent match, the Baron continued. The dowry will restore our finances. Our finances, sir? Gareth whispered. Lord St. Clair's eyes clamped down on his son's. We are mortgaged to the hilt, he said sharply. Another year and we'll lose everything that isn't entailed. But how? Eton does not come cheap, the Baron snapped. No, but surely it wasn't enough to beggar the family, Gareth thought desperately. This couldn't be all his fault. Disappointment you may be, his father said, but I have not shirked my responsibilities to you. You have been educated as a gentleman. You have been given a horse, clothing, and a roof over your head. Now it is time you behave like a man. Who? Gareth whispered. Huh? Who? He said a little louder. Whom was he meant to marry? Mary Winthrop, his father said in a matter-of-fact voice. Gareth felt the blood leave his body. Mary?
Rotham's daughter,
his father added, as if Gareth didn't know that. But Mary
will be an excellent wife, the Baron continued. Biddable, then you can dump her in the country should you wish to gad about town with your foolish friends.
But, father, Mary...
I accept it on your behalf, his father stated. It's done. The agreements have been signed.
Gareth fought for air. This couldn't be happening. Surely a man could not be forced into marriage, not in this day and age.
Rotham would like to see it done in July, his father added. I told him we have no objections.
But Mary, Gareth gasped. I can't marry Mary. One of his father's bushy brows inched towards his hairline.
You can, and you will.
But, father, she's
simple, the Baron finished for him.
He chuckled.
Won't make a difference when she's under you in bed, and you don't have to have anything to do with her otherwise.
He walked towards his son until they were uncomfortably close.
All you need do is show up at the church. Do you understand?
Gareth said nothing. He didn't do much of anything, either. It was all he could manage just to breathe. He'd known Mary Winthrop his entire life. She was a year his elder, and their family's estates had bordered on one another's for over a century. They'd been playmates as young children, but it soon became apparent that Mary wasn't quite right in the head. Gareth had remained her champion whenever he was in the district. He'd blooded more than one bully who had thought to call her names or take advantage of her sweet and unassuming nature. But he couldn't marry her. She was like a child. It had to be a sin, and even if it wasn't, he could never stomach it. How could she possibly understand what was meant to transpire between them as man and wife? He could never bed her. Never. Gareth just stared at his father, words failing him. For the first time in his life, he had no easy reply, no flip retort. There were no words, simply no words for such a moment.
I see we understand each other, the Baron said.